You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's Personal Finance Monday time, and we're taking a look at identifying the most tax-efficient investment strategies that you could deploy if you are looking to optimize on your savings and your wealth and your portfolio, but also looking to maintain very efficient tax methods. I'm joined on the line by the director and wealth advisor at PSG R21, Elke Brink, to take a look at this. Good evening, Elke. Lovely to speak to you again. When we look at tax-efficient investments, a lot of the time it starts off with trying to just navigate all of the different options that are out there and all of the options that are available. Where do we start?
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you so much for having me. It's always lovely speaking to you. So in terms of building the most ideal, most resilient investment portfolio, I think it's always important to take a step back and realize there's a few different things we want to achieve. So not just out of a portfolio return context, you also want to optimize taxation. Otherwise, you're just not going to reach the same outcome. So the taxation optimization part of it is really important. And there's a few different ways to do so. So different products, different strategies, and typically the perfect portfolio would consist out of a few different products. And in this way, you as an individual or as an entity, depending where we optimize it, can ensure that you are using all your different annual tax benefits. So that's kind of the plan, to optimize a few different things that we get to optimize annually. And then you start building optimal strategy going forward. And I think that's what's kind of important. Some of these things you want to start doing with time. You need the benefit of time in your portfolio. So that's quite important, especially when it comes to navigating your retirement planning. And a large tax benefit that I think a lot of us underutilize is actually done within your retirement funds. So I think something that we are all quite familiar with is the annual benefit that you can deduct up to 27.5% of your taxable income, up to a maximum of $350,000 a year. But if you were to do over and above this earlier on in life, and it doesn't have to happen earlier on, it can happen later at retirement as well. But in principle, if you do this earlier on in life, you can now create a second tax benefit that we can optimize at retirement, where we can optimize your income tax effect at retirement. So using this pool, or this what we refer to as a disallowed contribution, to offset your income tax at retirement. So essentially creating a tax-friendlier retirement space. But then you essentially need to save more earlier on in life. So I think a lot of investors get stuck with the idea of only the $350,000 a year, where there is a whole new stage of benefits to unlock if you do more than that. And then there are a few different other products. So for example, the tax-free investment, should we look at sinking funds or endowment vehicles? Should we optimize a normal accessible investment? All these different vehicles hold a different tax benefit you can optimize. So typically you want to have a component of all of them in your portfolio, and then you get the most tax-friendly space as an individual.
Elke, you bring up a lot of these different products, things like the endowments, and a lot of them we often don't even know about. And I suppose this is where it's important to have that conversation with your financial planner, your financial advisor, to say, we've done estate planning, we've done kind of what we want to do for retirement, but let's look at this pocket of opportunity that exists within tax-efficient structures and products like endowments, where you've already covered the other bases, but you've got a little bit more extra room and more flexibility to play around in these areas. When you have this conversation with your financial advisor, how do you position that side of it compared to all the other things?
Yes, I think it's so important to do this proper analysis and to see that you are optimizing the different products, as they also have different timelines. I think some of the products, retirement products, for example, are obviously for one day, where I think a sinking fund or endowment can be a shorter term product. They also play a very valuable role in the direct offshore space, where we can essentially cap your tax at 12%. And you also are addressing estate planning in a way, because you can nominate beneficiaries on these products. So the whole estate planning analysis plays a very big role in your planning as well. So I think this comes down to, depending on where you are in your phase of life, where our planning and our advice comes in. But in principle, the earlier you start setting up the right structures, the better. So even if you don't have significant wealth yet and you're a younger individual who's starting to build their portfolio, if you can use the optimal structures from the start, you're just going to save many tears and fees later in life. But on the other side, if you are a high net worth individual, you already have all these funds available, they might just not be in the optimal structure. So to do that analysis and see how do we optimize it. What we see quite often is that a lot of individuals, for example, have a lot of cash in the bank, literally, where we can at least optimize the what is the estate planning implications with these funds. Can we at least cap your either income tax effect because cash is taxed, or can we cap your capital gains tax effect should it be more equity based? So analyzing also, even if you don't change your strategy and you like a more conservative strategy, for example, but at least having a better vehicle for it. So sometimes we solve a big problem and ensure higher returns just by having a more efficient vehicle and addressing other risks that are something you typically want to avoid, especially in our country, is we want to ensure that your estate is not too big, not just from a taxation point of view, but also out of a time point of view. So the average portfolio that I've dealt with where people take anything between 1 and 4 years to wind up their estate, and meanwhile, your family is waiting for it. So it does help minimizing what is lying in your estate or wound up in an estate, and that analysis, I think, is also something that should be done from the get-go.
Elke, when we look at these products, these efficient structures, obviously there's so many of them that we can't get into all of them right now, and they're all sort of personalized towards the investor or towards the individual based on their own circumstances. I want to look at just one of them. Perhaps maybe this is something that is fairly common amongst South Africans, is owning property, owning rental property, investment property. How do we optimize that kind of vehicle or that kind of investment asset class to ensure that we're able to still earn from the rental property, but we're also using efficient things like mortgages and all of that to our advantage?
It's a very good question, Jimmy. And I think property becomes a whole topic in itself, which I think we can maybe delve into one day, as there's so many considerations to be made. I think in principle, if we start off the property debate, I think it's very important to do a proper analysis of what are we trying to achieve in terms of if it's a second income or another type of asset in your portfolio, how well does it really compare to just a very well-diversified equity portfolio, for example? Will you not be getting a higher return over the long term by getting a, let's say, compounding annual 10% return on an investment portfolio that's more diversified compared to a rental income that you technically can't increase with 10% every year, and you have rates and taxes, levies, potentially maintenance expenses, a few different. So I think really doing the analysis of what is the value of this potential property asset compared to a more diversified item. And then secondly, I think the structure is also quite important. So let's say it's a family asset, I would do it in an optimal vehicle for estate duty purposes, but also just continuity purposes, or planning in a family or an income, or depending what the role of this property is. And then, of course, knowing what the taxation effects are if you want to eventually sell this property again. So I think it's important to define what's a plan with a property, and is it the best solution to do so with your funds? Because property is not always the answer in terms of the highest returns and the highest value in your portfolio. And I think also remembering that it's not necessarily a very liquid asset. If you have a funny phase in our country and there's a lot of uncertainty, then of course there isn't much interest or liquidity when it comes to property sales. And of course, interest rates also play a very important role, especially when it comes to renting versus buying and the type of market you have exposure to. So I think property is something that should really be analyzed, and it should just make sense. I think my opinion is I'm not very fond on property. I would rather do a more diversified asset class portfolio, and there we can debate how much is in equities, how much is in cash and bonds. But I think overall, on a compounding basis, you can be more diversified and get a higher return compared to most property incomes.
the importance of understanding that there are so many other investment vehicles out there that you can make use of that might be more tax efficient than your current investment structures. This is why you should definitely speak to a financial advisor and understand what could benefit you, what could benefit your family, and what could benefit your legacy. We'll leave it at that, Alka. Thanks so much for those insights and for the time. That's Alka Brink, who is Director and Wealth Advisor at PSGR21, joining me for this week's Personal Finance segment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.